and to be back, as my wife and I were away visiting her family for a few weeks. So let's just, again, just commit this time in prayer. Father, we just thank you for Easter and all that it means. We thank you for the hope that it brought, the victory that it won, and the finality of it. We just pray now as we open your word and as the kids downstairs also hear about you, Lord, that your spirit would speak to us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I have to admit I'm feeling a little groggy this morning. After traveling back, it seems the last couple of days, the jet lag caught up to me. I think that's why it's called jet lag. You know, it kind of lags behind you and then it catches up and makes you want to be asleep right now. So hopefully that doesn't translate to you guys. Hopefully you stay alert. But yesterday I was actually late for a meeting, which is okay, except for the fact that I was supposed to open the meeting with a devotional. So when I arrived, I said, oh, my apologies. I didn't fall asleep last night. And a good thing was my son slept through and slept in, which he never does. But that meant that my human alarm that I rely on didn't go off. But one of the girls, it was a staff meeting among us who work with international students, and we had some of the student leaders also join in. It's just part of the way we want to kind of disciple them, of bringing them alongside in the ministry. And one of the girls, a young girl from China, said, well, I didn't sleep either last night. And I said, oh, why didn't you sleep? She goes, well, I'm just too excited. I'm too excited for Easter. And now, it wasn't really Easter that she's excited about, but today she's been baptized. And already a few days out, she's so excited that she wasn't sleeping. And so, for me, it just kind of proved that. I often will say that, you know, for a Christian, yes, Christmas is so important, the coming of Christ. But Easter is the exclamation point. Without Easter, even Christmas loses its meaning, because Easter is what it's all about, the death and then the resurrection of Jesus. And I said, well, I remember before Christmas, I don't sleep the night before. At least I didn't. But Easter, it's two nights not sleeping for this girl. And she's so excited. And, you know, when I was thinking about it, baptism is such a perfect picture of what Easter is about. It's identifying ourselves with the death and resurrection of Jesus. Romans 6 says this. It says, or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live in new life. And so what better expression of Easter, better than a bunny or better than an egg, is baptism. And I'm excited because today I'm missing Emily's baptism, and she's been baptized with another student of ours out in Vancouver. But this afternoon, an SFU student by the name of Bernard will be baptized at the church he goes to out in Coquitlam. And so I'll be there. And what a perfect way to celebrate Easter, of the baptism of some of these new Christians, because that's what Easter is about. It's about Jesus' death and resurrection. And these students are identifying with it. And that's the question I want to ask to open is how do you identify with Easter? How do you relate to Easter in your life? There's a course that we've done here at Parkrest on Wednesdays, and we've done many times with students up on campus. It's called Christianity Explored. And it goes through the Gospel of Mark, and just kind of looks at the Gospel of Mark. And as it comes to Jesus on the cross, as you go through the study guide, it asks a question of, who do you identify with? And it notes that at the cross, when Jesus was crucified, there were several people observing what was happening. And different ones had different views of what was going on. It talks about, you know, are you like Pilate? More concerned about other things and what other people think than about who Jesus might be. Are you like the soldiers, maybe, who took Jesus' clothes and kind of cast lots to see who would get in. Are you more concerned with material things than spiritual realities? It talks about there are some people who are simply there observing, that something about Jesus had caught their attention, that yes, there's something special here, but didn't go any further to think, who really is Jesus? And I think that happens oftentimes at holidays like Easter, where people might acknowledge Jesus without really giving him due consideration. And then, of course, there's the centurion who, as Jesus died on the cross, confessed that surely this man was the Son of God. He came to realize who Jesus really was. And so how do you identify with what happened on the cross? How do you identify with the Easter story and what happened? You know, I want to take it a step further. In that scenario, it's all people observing Easter. But Paul writes in Galatians 2:20 this. He says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. To Paul and to a Christian, Easter isn't just something that we observe. It's not just something that we remember. It's something that we identify with, that we say, yes, Jesus' death on the cross was my death. He died for me. And that means that my life that I'm living today, I'm living by faith in Jesus. I'm trusting Jesus to live the life that he's given me to live. And I'm living out my life in the way that he would want me to live. And so Easter and the death and resurrection of Jesus isn't just something we observe. It's something we live. It's something that we partake in. And so what about you? What does Easter mean to you? How do you identify with Easter? Are you like these students who for the first time are saying, yes, Easter isn't just some Western holiday. Easter isn't just something that the Christians believe, but Easter is real to me because I now know Jesus as my Savior. I was really challenged yesterday morning at our staff and prayer meeting. At the end, we broke into small groups, and it just happened that I was grouped with these two girls who are going to be baptized today. And like we would do here at Parkrest, our prayer meeting, we'd be listing out prayer requests about different activities, different things going on. And when we got to pray, they said, well, how do we do this? How do you pray in a group? It's their first time doing it. And I said, just whatever is on your heart, just pray it to God. And it's so interesting. The first girl, she put her head down. She said, God, I'm going back to China in a couple of weeks, and my mom needs to know you. I just pray that she'll know Jesus like I know Jesus. And then the next girl, she goes, well, you know, I'm kind of paraphrasing, but that was essentially what the next girl, she simply prayed that as we start Focus Club in the next semester, that the new students would get to know Jesus. She didn't pray about the programs or anything. She just said, I know what I have, and I want other people to have this for themselves. And so what about you? What does Easter mean to you? For the Christians, we talk about Good Friday, and we talk about Resurrection Sunday, and how important it is that our faith hangs on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, there is a poll that was done in the UK a few weeks ago, and is reported on the BBC and the Telegraph and all that, and is a random poll of Britons, and it was a poll about the resurrection. And do you believe the resurrection? In the resurrection? I think the question had several parts of, do you believe in just resurrection and afterlife in general? And do you believe in the biblical story of the resurrection of Jesus? And what this poll showed was that 25% of people who claim to be Christians, who identify that, yeah, I'm a Christian, 25% of them didn't believe in the resurrection. And that's a kind of shocking number. Now, fortunately, when it got to people who were actively Christians, people who attended church at least once a month or so, that number skyrocketed. And the majority of them, yeah, they believed in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But that tells me that it's possible for you to say, you know what, I think I'm a Christian, and yet to observe Easter from afar, as opposed to saying, I believe this, I live it, this is my life, what happened on the cross. In 1 Corinthians 15, it's one of my favorite chapters because it kind of gives a refutation of that point of view that I can say I'm a Christian and yet not be convinced of Jesus' resurrection. He says this, he says, for what I received, this is Paul writing to the Corinthian church, for what I received, I passed on to you of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and others as well. And so Paul says, here's what I delivered to you, and he says, this is the gospel I shared with you. And what was of first importance is what? That Jesus died, buried, and rose again on the third day. You know, there's so much that we can talk about as Christians, so much we can share about as Christians. And yet, what Scripture tells us is that there are some things that are actually more important than other things. There are some things that are worth really spending our time on. There are some things that we should be making sure as Christians that whatever message we're sending out, this is the primary message. And that's what Paul is saying, is that the most important thing about our faith is Jesus Christ, that he died for our sins, he was buried, and that he rose again, all in according to the scriptures. And when it says they're according to the scriptures, I don't think he's saying, you know, you can cross-reference this back to the book of Isaiah or the book of Amos or to the Psalms, but rather that the whole story of scriptures has been leading up to this point, Jesus Christ, and then his death, burial, and resurrection on the cross. And this is our hope. This is what we share. And Paul says that this was of first importance. It's not saying that the other things aren't important. It's just that this is of first importance. To the point where a few verses later, in verse 14 of the same chapter, Paul says this, and if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. That's quite a blunt statement. You know, I don't like somebody telling me that something I have is useless. You know, to be told that something I believe is useless. And that Paul is saying that without the resurrection, our faith, it falls apart. Our faith falls apart without the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we know that. And that's why Paul, he knew that for himself in his life. And that's why he talked about, you know, yes, I was crucified, but now I live. Why? Because Jesus also lives. And yet, more than that, it was an ambition of Paul to know the resurrection. In Philippians 3:10, it says this. Paul says, I want to know Christ. And that is such an important thing in the Christian life, is to know Christ. But he goes on, and I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. It's something Paul experienced in his own life. And he wanted it more, to know more and more the power of a risen Savior, the power of the resurrection. And he says, and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings. Paul wanted everything to do with Christ. He wanted to know Christ, not just a head knowledge, but a relational knowledge of, I want to know Christ for myself, and then experience the power of his resurrection so that as I live for him and suffer for him, I am able to endure because of that power of the resurrection in my life. In fact, if you kind of look at that chapter of Philippians 3, it starts where Paul looks behind at things he now counts as loss. And it moves towards the fact that our citizenship is in heaven. And yet in the present moment, he wants to know the power of the resurrection. And that's something that we as Christians can know in our life. You know, one of the great things that Jesus did is, I love Easter because it kind of slows us down. You know, weekly we remember the Lord's death and his sacrifice on the emblems at Parkrest. But there's something about Easter where it just seems that we take special note of some of the intricacies of what was going on, what was accomplished on the cross. And one of the things I enjoy doing around Easter is reading through the upper room account in the book of John. and just how Jesus spent those last hours. And there's the great promise that he gives that he will not leave us as orphans. That through our lives, Christ is with us because his Spirit lives and dwells within us as believers in Christ. And so here we are, and we can know the power of the resurrection of Jesus in our lives. And my question is, what does that accomplish? What does that give us in our lives? As I think about this in practicality, we're celebrating the death and the resurrection of Jesus. But what does that translate to in the life of a believer? One of the words I distilled it down to is freedom. And I'll put it this way. If you have your Bible, go to Revelation chapter 1. And we're going to read a few verses there. But it brings us freedom in our lives. It brings us both freedom from something, freedom from sin, because we know that Jesus died for our sins on the cross and we're free from them. But it also gives us freedom towards something. And it gives us freedom towards living the lives that God intends for us to live, living as priests in God's kingdom. And so Revelation 1 says this. I'll pick it up in verse 5, and it's been saying, "Grace and peace to you who's receiving this letter from Christ, from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead." Again, there's the resurrection of this. What we're talking about is true because of the resurrection, because Jesus rose from the dead. "And the ruler of the kings of earth, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priest to serve God and to serve his God and Father, to him the be glory and power forever and ever. Amen." And so in these verses, it talks about what's been accomplished because of Easter, what was accomplished on the cross, and it's this. It says, he has freed us from our sins. Or he has washed us from our sins. He has delivered us from our sins. And yet, there's more. Not only have we been freed from our sins, we've been made into something. It says, and made us to be a kingdom, to belong to someone, to something, and priests to serve his God and Father. What the resurrection and the power of the resurrection that Paul talks about does in the life of the believer is this. It frees us from our sins so that we can go and live as God has intended us to live. It has freed us from our sin, which causes us to live for the world and for ourselves, and freed us and given us the ability to live for God and to serve him in our lives and to bring glory to him in our lives. And so that begins as it brings us freedom from our sin. And depending on your translation, it might say freed you from your sins or washed you from your sins. And the Bible uses imagery to talk about the effect of sin in this world and the effect of sin in a person's life. And the imagery is not only does it make us dirty, but it enslaves us. It talks about it chains us. It captures us. It entangles us. And it opposes us. And this is what sin does in a person's life. It enslaves us. And the Bible tells us that yes, although we can be free from sin because of what Jesus has done, that as Christians, as we live this life, we continually need God's grace in our life to overcome sin. And that it's possible as Christians to having escaped from the sin to slip back and be entangled by it again. One of the ways in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 12, it talks about running the Christian life, going on in our Christian life. And it tells us to watch out for something. It's well-known verses in verse 12. It talks about, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." And so it talks about sin as it can entangle us. And you know, the imagery that it presents, that the Bible presents of sin, is that as we go along It can be something that entangles us. And if you've ever been tangled up, you know that even sometimes when you want to move forward, if you're tangled into something, you get stuck. You know, one of the things I learned when, as a family, we learned to scuba dive. And one of the things that you might want to carry is a knife. And so my brother Mark and I, we were so excited because when we learned to scuba dive, we were allowed to get a knife. And it wasn't a toy, but it's just in case if you get entangled underwater. You know, that's a desperate situation. You know, we thought it was to fight off sharks, actually, but it's that you can cut yourself free. And so you had these hoses and all these things, and if something gets tangled, you got to cut yourself free. It's a life and death situation under there. And that's the imagery that he gives of sin. And you know, one of the ways I see it is sometimes we can be going along in our Christian life, and there can be something there. And we can think, well, I need to hold on to it. But as you walk along and it follows behind you, it can get tangled up. You know, if you've ever walked around with ropes and maybe a little bit of it falls and snags onto something and you get stuck and you try to pull it and it gets around. And before you know it, that small thing that you're holding on to in your life, that small sin has slowed you down, wrapped you up, and stopped you in your Christian life. And yet, the power of the resurrection has freed us from that. And just as we're being freed from the penalty of sin forever because of what Jesus did in our Christian life, because we have a living Savior in us, we are able to overcome that sin that will attempt to ensnare us in our lives. We're able to remove it and continue forward as Christians. The power of the cross is real in the Christian life. And if there's something in your life that has been holding you back as a Christian, you can believe and trust that Jesus is able to overcome it today in your life so that you can continue to move forward for him, to continue to live for him. You know, some sin is more than what we would consider just holding on to something small. Sometimes, whether it's a conscious or unconscious decision, we just jump into a net. And sometimes if you've been entangled in a net, it's you feel like it's impossible. And yet, what has the resurrection done? What has Easter done for us? It has freed us from that sin. And so if you're a Christian today, know that you have freedom from the sin of this world, that you can live for God. And that's what also the freedom that the cross gives to the Christian today. As it says there, not only have you been freed from our sins by his blood, but also, it says, and he has made us something. You know, when I talked to the girls that were being baptized, I was driving a car full of the students home after our meeting. And they talked about their newness. And one of the girls talked about, I wonder what my mom will see about a new me. As she's become a Christian here and will soon see her mom for the first time. You've been made into something new as a Christian. If you were here on Wednesday when David shared, he talked about the body of Christ. We are one body, many members. And he talked about how the body is incomplete without you. And so if you're a member of this church, we're incomplete if you're not here, if you're not part of us and participating in the church. And he just shared some inspiring stories of how people just do small things for God, and yet God can use those things for his kingdom. And that's what we have been given freedom and ability and the power to do in our lives as Christians, is be priests to serve our God. It says he's made us a kingdom and priests to serve the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, as Christians today, you have freedom to live and carry out the service that God has given you to do because of the life of Christ that is living inside of you. One of the ways I looked at this is not only as a Christian do you have a part to play, not only do you have a gifting that you can use here, you have a service that has been given to you by God. Priests offered service to God. And as a Christian, you have a service to give and to offer to God. And because you've been freed from sin, you are now free to go and live for God. You're free to go and serve God as He has called you to serve and to live. Again, talking about this student, and I'm talking about her so much because it's so encouraging. 6 months old Christian, being baptized, encouraged about her faith, and in fact, this Friday, flying off to join the Logos Hope, if any of you are familiar with that mission ship of OM, to participate for a week long on a short-term mission trip. Built into her DNA, I need to share this message with other people. And she'd been asked to help volunteer for the club up at SFU. And she said, "I don't understand, because I said I would volunteer, and the next day people are saying that I'm a leader of the club. What do you guys mean? I'm not doing anything." And we simply talked about that of, "Well, what are you doing?" She said, "Well, you know, when I see someone come in, I welcome them." I said, "You know, that's probably far more important than the content of some of our teaching. I mean, it's all good content, or the games that are being organized, or all these things." I said, "You know, when I meet someone or when a student shares their testimony, occasionally one of these students will tell me, 'You know what? I first started coming to Focus Club or for coming out to the Bible study because I just wanted to know what Christianity taught.'" Some of the students say that. I'll say maybe a quarter will say that. "You know, I was just really interested in Christianity." But I said, the three quarters tell me this. They said, "You know, I was lonely and I came here, and for the first time in Canada, someone cared about me. Someone welcomed me. Someone noticed me. There is genuine love that I felt." And I said, I didn't tell her in this terms that you have a priestly duty in simply welcoming people, but that's what Scripture would understand it as. Whatever God has put on your heart, that you are able to do a service to Him, is a priestly duty before our God, as you are serving Him with the gifts that He has given you and the ability that He's given you and the life that He's given you in Jesus Christ. And so, what has the resurrection accomplished? What has Easter accomplished in our lives? It has freed us from our sins, but it's also freed us to serve God as He intended us to live. And so if today you are stuck in a rut, perhaps in your Christian walk, if you feel that things haven't been moving forward, just remember this: because of Easter, you've been freed from sin. And because of Easter, you have the life of Christ living in you and are able to move forward in the power of the resurrection, as Paul called. He said, "I want to know the power of the resurrection in my life." Why? Because he also knew that he was going to be sharing in the sufferings of Christ. He knew that there was stuff lying ahead and it was going to be tough. But because he knew the power of the resurrection in his life, personally he knew that, he was able to move forward on the path that God had given him. Christian history is filled with stories of peoples whose lives have been changed when they came to know Christ. You know, one of the famous ones is John Newton, you know, the former slave trader who then, after receiving Christ, lived through to see the abolition of slavery. What a transformation. Some of our stories might become well known, but what I've found in my Christian walk is so much more often of someone who is freed from sin in their lives, freed from living for themselves or living for the world, and simply freed from their sin so they can go on living for Christ, influencing the people around them, love being a good neighbor, serving in their church, and by that, the gospel goes forward. By that, they serve as priests in God's kingdom. And so this Easter, what does it mean to you in your life? Are you a simple observer of a historical event that happened? Or are you a skeptic of a historical event that some people say happened? Or are you living it out in your life daily? Have you come to know the power of the resurrection in your life? And so that you can say confidently, "I have been crucified with Christ, and yet I'm living. I'm living in the power of his resurrection. And so the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's my prayer for us as Christians. That's what Paul came to. He said, you know, this is what it's about. It's simply knowing that my sins are forgiven and that because Jesus lives, I too live, and I can live for him in this life as I wait expectantly for what will await us as Christians when Christ returns and we're with him forever in glory. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for Easter. We thank you for the resurrection power that we can know in our own lives, Lord, that we're not as orphans just going through life, but that we have an ability given by you to overcome Satan and the world and the sin, not by our own strength, but because you have accomplished it. So we give thanks to Jesus, and as it says in your word, praise be to you for what you have done. In Jesus' name, amen.